Today's program is brought to you by Whole Foods Market, a dynamic leader in the quality food business, a mission-driven company that aims to set the standards of excellence for food retailers. For more information, visit wholefoodsmarket.com.
I'm Dave Arnold, host of Cooking Issues. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
And welcome to A Few Things with Claire and Erica, where we talk about all of the things that we're feeling really enthusiastic about.
This week.
This particular week changes frequently from week to week. We're actually pre-recording this episode, so God knows what we'll actually be caring about next week.
Well, I think we've cared about these two topics that we're going to dive into in a minute for a pretty long time, so I doubt that our interest will wane so much.
It's true. We've actually... Well, so to give you a little bit of background.
Yes.
I'm Claire.
I'm Erica.
We're business partners. We have a fantastic company called Of A Kind, which can be found at www.ofakind.com. We introduce emerging designers in the fashion and home space.
To the world.
We introduce them to the world. We tell their stories. We sell limited edition pieces that they've created exclusively for us. And we also talk about all the shit that we love.
Yes.
And we do it in large part in a weekly newsletter called 10 Things, which you can sign up for on our website. And we also do it here on this weekly radio show / podcast.
This is our radio show extension of a newsletter that was inadvertently built off of the back of a website that we built. Welcome.
Hope you're following. So, one question that I'm distracted by now. Is there a difference between a radio show and a podcast in 2015?
I think just the distribution channels and how people are consuming it, possibly.
Yeah.
Okay. So because this is live streaming and it's internet radio as opposed to just a podcast, which I think is just uploaded.
And put on Stitcher.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's right.
So we're doing both, actually. We have both. It's a hybrid.
Yeah. Okay. We'll go with it.
Let's go with it. Let's also go with flats.
Flats.
This is something we've touched on multiple times, I think, in various episodes of this radio show, this hybrid radio show podcast. Something we talk about a lot between
yes.
the two of us.
So when we started the business Of A Kind 5 years ago, I think we wore heels a lot more regularly than we do now. And that would entail us, in the early days we didn't have an office, so that would entail us lugging our laptops around in big heavy bags on days like... these July days, these like sweltering hot, humid days in heels, sweating through like
well,
silk dresses.
Well, we would also carry a pair of backup flats in our bag as any good New York woman does.
But then your bag's just so heavy.
It was so awful. But when you're just starting out and you're 26 and 27 year old starting a business and trying to prove yourself, you need every little boost of confidence you can get. And sometimes that includes a boost of height.
Yeah, totally. And I also think that in 2010, heels were just more prevalent
That's
than they
true.
Are right now, especially around at least the girls we hang out with.
That's totally true. I think I rarely ever wear heels anymore. I wear them to events, weddings, photo shoots. If I'm wearing a long pair of pants that requires heels to not drag on the floor.
And I mean, think, that hemling thing, man.
God, so annoying.
Yeah.
But sometimes a high-waisted trouser with a heel looks amazing.
It can look great.
Yeah, it looks like you're floating.
Yep.
But I do attribute it to two things. I think it's one half fashion has changed a little bit. But the other half is just getting older and having this realization that I'm actually handicapping myself
yeah.
by wearing uncomfortable shoes.
You're slowing yourself down.
Even you're literally physically slowing yourself down. You're making yourself uncomfortable, which is just exhausting and takes up energy that you could be putting towards being productive and awesome and smart and powerful. And it makes it harder to go to the bathroom even. You're like, I'm gonna go to the bathroom.
It makes it harder to go to the bathroom?
Because yes, you get up and go to the bathroom and you're like,
okay.
My feet hurt. I feel
okay.
that way when I'm
okay.
wearing uncomfortable shoes. I'm like, I'm gonna wait until
you hold
I really
it.
Need to go.
You really
I
hold it when you wear heels. Okay.
And that to me is insane. It's
well,
so
that,
insane.
That for sure is insane.
Well, I know. But these are the things. Having to think about how far you're walking, how
yeah.
often you're going to the bathroom because your feet hurt is really a handicap that I don't need to give myself right now.
No, we definitely, when one of us wears heels and the other doesn't, it's it's a huge drag, it's where like, you feel you're like really slowing the other person down. You're like, I'm sorry, I just can't walk that fast in these damn shoes.
Do we need to take a cab to that place we're going because you wear heels?
Yeah. These are the questions. So what heels, what flats are we wearing?
Well, I personally, and this is not a shout out to our business, it is just a fact of life, I've been wearing the Palatine slide sandals that we released this summer and last summer. I bought two pairs of each because if you really love something, buy it twice. That's what I always say.
This is the title. This is the fourth alternative title of the Claire Mazur memoir.
If you really love something, don't let it go. Buy it twice.
If you really love something, buy it twice. Yeah, which we'll get back to in the second segment here, which is about organization and getting rid of things.
So we released them last year in a nude color. We released them this year in a metallic color. I went to Leather Spot in Midtown and had them put rubber soles on them so that they could make it through anything, and I wear them daily.
Yep. We've only released flats on the site.
True.
We've released a few pairs of shoes. In the beginning, we never thought that we would because of sizing issues, but we got over it. And the other brands that we've worked with that we can really get behind are Marais USA.
Marais makes awesome flats.
Awesome. And so many different flats. Mm-hmm. And very sort of work friendly and appropriate
chic.
Flats.
Very totally. Chic Parisian looking flats.
So on the Marais website, they say that the inspo is half Patti Smith, half Jane Birkin, which feels like what everybody kind of wants to go
Who
for.
Who doesn't
want to
be half two other people?
Yeah. Half two very cool stylish
women.
Yeah.
Totally.
Women who have it together and do and have really good messy hair. Both.
God. Goals.
And then Proud Mary is another line that we've worked with a few times. And she makes especially amazing raffia slides and there's very like summery looking.
I get so many friggin' compliments on her shoes everywhere I go. What are those shoes? Because they're very sort of current shape, so a Dorsey flat and a moccasin, but she does them in these raffia weave and with rubber soles, and they're really comfortable and really awesome.
They're especially good if you have an office that doesn't allow for open-toed shoes, which is somehow a thing
we've
still.
Been learning about this recently.
This is a thing. They look really summery but aren't sandals, and or if you're just not feeling great about the condition of your toenails for various chipped polish
I went through a long phase where I didn't show my toes.
You went through a really long phase. It was really shocking. And then you just...
This is embarrassing to admit, but I think it's because an ex-boyfriend told me that my feet weren't cute. And I was like, I better cover them up.
No one's feet are really cute, except for our friend Ruthie Barron, who's been a guest on this show.
True. She has great feet. She's our foot model. But obviously, I was like, F that. My feet can see the world. I used to wear only closed toe flats for a really long time.
Beyond the shoes that we saw on the site.
What are you wearing?
I've been wearing Birkenstocks a lot, which
into them.
Say what you will, but they're really great. They're really comfortable. They're really good all weather shoes. Thank you. I don't wear any that are particularly like fashion-y or like of the moment. They're
just black.
They're just
black matte leather. I'm looking at them now. They look great.
I like that the ones I have just a black buckle, which makes a big difference to me.
Makes them more minimal.
I just don't like clashing metals.
Totally understand. Me too, even though I like it in theory, but I'm not good at doing it myself.
Yep. The one nice thing about a Birkenstock is that the way that the footbed works, you never stub your toe, which is a total summer sandal issue because it protects your toe.
Totally. And they mold to your feet. That's what I remember from the summer I wore Birkenstocks.
Yes, they're amazing. I actually got this pair repaired this year instead of getting a new pair, because why do I need a new pair? They're great. So I sent them to this company called iBirks, not joking.
it's spelled like
iPhone. iPhone, obviously.
Like lowercase I, capital B.
And tell you what, there's nothing about this company that is like Apple. There's nothing about
Why?
It.
Why? Because they deal in Birkenstocks.
And they have like a website where you print out the form to fill it out to mail your shoes in. It's not technologically advanced beyond the fact that there's a website.
But it's a clever name.
And I like them. They were really lovely and did a great job. Also, I'm way into Charlotte Stone.
Yes.
Which is an LA line that is super well priced. And she does espadrilles that are really great and also, you know, reasonably affordable.
And espadrilles they've been coming back for a couple years now.
Yes.
And they've never really gone away. I think they're a classic shoe that are always in style and that I've loved since I was a little girl. When my family went to Spain and my mom let me get what to me were my first pair of heels because it was a wedge espadrille.
Yeah.
And my mother felt like this was like a culturally relevant souvenir because they were... They're from Spain, so she so I was allowed to have them.
Authentic. It was the authentic souvenir.
Exactly.
Authentic young girl heel. Yeah.
Exactly. And they have that ankle strap, which looks awesome and sexy. They're kind of, so Charlotte Stone does espadrilles. They don't, as far as I know, they don't do this sort of like traditional style.
No, espadrille. It's like an espadrille sandal. It's like an espadrille footbed.
Saludos does sort of pseudo traditional, and they're really inexpensive and available everywhere. They're kind of like the Havaianas of the 2010s, where it's they're available everywhere. They're super cheap. They look great.
They're great patterns and fabrics.
Yeah,
and
I love
vibes.
Exactly. They're like my weekend shoe. I love that.
They pack supremely well.
They're
great. Yeah.
And then the sort of original classic Spanish brand that does espadrilles is Castanier, C-A-S-T-A-N-E-R. And they have a website that's kind of janky. I prefer espadrilles.com. Super straightforward.
Good domain to own.
Yeah, exactly. But espadrilles, just try not to get them wet, but a great flat summer shoe or wedge, if that's what you like.
And the one other line that we swear by is Loeffler Randall, which is, to really speak to our faith and commitment to this company, it's pretty much the only sample sale we'll bother going to in New York.
I have so many Loeffler Randall shoes. It's ridiculous. All flats. They just do a great, sexy flat. And the thing that I think makes a flat really sexy and attractive is a pointed toe and a shallow
footbed, or a shallow.
Let's say a shallow flat, a skimmer, where it shows
a skimmer.
It shows a lot of your foot. I don't even know if that's the right
foot cleavage,
term.
Toe cleavage.
Footwear designers everywhere right now are rolling their eyes at us. But they're like, that's
no,
not
toe
a
cleavage is a thing.
No, toe
and
cleavage for sure
are a thing.
Skimmers are a thing. I'm just not sure if that's what it means.
I don't know if anybody really knows what a skimmer is.
The footwear designers of the world. Anyway, I like one that is so shallow that after wearing it for only 3 months, you can't wear it anymore because you've stretched it out so much that it falls off your foot every time. You pick your foot up. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. It has nothing to grip onto. No heel to grip.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's my favorite kind. Back in the day before Sigurdsson Morrison got bought, they made really awesome flats that were sort of known for that. And now Loeffler Randall is my go-to. They have really thin soles, shallow, and a pointed toe. And I think they look great.
Okay, so something else we have to get to because this is something we care about, that people care about, sneakers.
Totally. I dragged Erica to Nike yesterday to look at sneakers with me because I did this race, this Nike sponsored race in Toronto a couple weekends
ago.
Which
if you've like listened to Claire talk for the last month, you know.
I've talked about it so much. It was awesome. I loved it. It made me a total Nike fangirl. And mostly because all weekend there were these super hot women walking around in
hot Nike, fit,
awesome.
Exercise
also just awesome. This wasn't the only reason I fell for it. It was just really well done and empowering and made you feel really proud to be a runner. But these also, there were beautiful, fit, smart, charming women walking around in really sporty athleisure Nike looks everywhere that made me be like, why am I not wearing Nike shoes with all of my outfits? Why am I not wearing neon sneakers with everything?
So what are your favorite Nike shoes right now?
Well, I'm really into the Nike Freeze, specifically the 3.0, which is the thinnest. And I actually really like running in them, which I never thought I would. I'm a pronator, and when you're a pronator, it just means you do something funny and you're supposed to wear
when your foot hits the ground.
Exactly. Okay. Right. You sort of turn in or out. Who even knows? Everybody is an overpronator.
Yeah.
Most people. And it means that you're supposed to wear the ugliest sneakers ever with the thickest soles ever. They call them stability shoes. And so I always thought that was what I was, had to do. But I tried out these Nike Free 3.0, which are a really thin sole, and I love running in them, and I haven't been injured in them yet. And they also look awesome with leggings or a cute little kicky skirt.
Yeah. I'm into a classic looking, preppy sneaker, like a Superga. And I've been on the hunt for the perfect white sneakers, which I don't know. I almost bought Stan Smith's a while ago. But then I started seeing them on every single foot in Brooklyn and just really struggled to get on.
Fashion blogger.
Yeah. And just really struggled to get on board. And then I wanted Rod Laver's, which is the most sort of classic tennis shoe. And fun fact, he was the last dude to win all 4 tennis grand slams in 1 year, which feels like who can't get behind that?
Yeah.
But they don't make all leather ones. So they get dirty really
easily.
That's
so annoying. So I pointed this out to you when we were in the Nike store, but Nike now has an all white hat. They clearly caught wind of the Stan Smith thing, and they have an all white
with
leather,
just like a perforated swoosh.
With a perforated swoosh that's really chic, and I was into it. I thought that was super cute. There's also the really expensive companies that make really awesome sleek sneakers, like Fight, F-E-I-T.
Common Projects.
Those are just awesome. They just make you look so...
They're beautiful, beautiful. Yeah, but so they're an investment piece.
They're an investment piece for sure. And I don't know if you should need to be spending that much on a sneaker that you might get tired of.
Yeah, it's true.
Season.
All right. Well, we should hop to commercial. But before we do, we wanted to thank the fact that this topic came to us via a customer or a listener writing in.
Yes. I can't remember her name because I didn't write it down.
But isn't that exciting?
That is. And if you are listening right now, email us at afewthings@ofakind.com, an email address which does not actually exist yet, but I'm going to create by the time you hear this.
Exactly. So. And send us any topics you want us to talk about, any feedback. So give that a think while we go to commercial. We'll be right back.
Bye.
Listening to Now by the Spiral Jetty Club. This is A Few Things with Claire and Erica on heritageradionetwork.org.
Today's program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Are you a locavore? Our Northeast regional forager for Whole Foods Market sure is. She spends her time traveling around the New York City metro area sourcing the best new or interesting artisanal and handcrafted local products for our purchasing teams at the local store level. Part of our commitment to our local suppliers includes assisting them with the process of getting their products sold at our stores. Whether it's suggesting packaging designs, pricing, or distribution methods, she's helping some of the area's best new products reach savvy shoppers at Whole Foods Market stores. Today, New York. Tomorrow, the world. For more information, visit WholeFoodsMarket.com.
Hello, and welcome back to A Few Things with Claire and Erica. If you're just tuning in now, you missed an amazing discussion on flats. So rewind to learn everything about flats, and then go to www.ofakind.com and sign up for our newsletter.
And maybe even buy some flats there.
Oh, yeah, you can do that.
Go for it.
We're back with the one and only Tova Weinstock, a.k.a. Tidy Tova, who is a personal hero and I would say mascot of a kind. She is smart, charming, cute, and an amazing
ambitious organizer.
Yeah. Ambitious. Everything you're going to say you heard her here first, basically, because next she's going to be on Oprah. Whoever still has a TV show. I don't know if Oprah still has a TV show, but we found her first.
We've gotten it on the Tidy Tova ground floor, and we feel great about it. So
she's like our Nate Berkus.
Totally.
Would you say?
Yes.
Or Deepak Chopra, whoever, I don't know. You know, she's yes. ours. Yeah. We claim her.
Yeah. So Tova is an organizational genius. She has given both our offices and our homes much needed sort of straightenings up.
I mentioned this before, but I put Tova on our wedding registry because I felt like having Tova come to our home and spend a day organizing it and helping us get rid of the clutter would be helpful in finding marital bliss. And I was right.
Always, yes.
Yeah, so.
So we want to talk to Tova about organization in general and her tips and tricks. But it feels like the right way to dive into this is to start with Marie Kondo, because that's the sort of organizational touchstone for mm-hmm. everyone. This woman, Marie Kondo, wrote a book called The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up that I'm sure you've 100% heard of, right?
And
by now.
Read.
And probably read.
Yeah.
And the basic premise is that you shouldn't own anything that doesn't spark joy. And this woman is so influential that she was on the Time 100 list. So this is happening.
She's totally happening.
She's happening.
And we've all three of us sitting here now have read this book.
And she's, by the way, an amazing little Japanese woman who you have to watch this video of her on the Fast Company website. She was also one of Fast Company's most creative people this year. Watch her clean off someone's desk. And she thanks every object that she throws away.
So
it's
that's
amazing.
Part of the thing is that when you, what she instructs is that you pick up each item in your home, you take a moment to sense whether or not it sparks joy. And if it doesn't, you thank it for its service because it has played a role in your life no matter what, whether or not that role was teaching you that you don't look good in a drop waist dress or it looked really great on your first date with your husband or whatever, you thank it for that and then you say goodbye.
Yep. So Tova, what do you like about Marie Kondo? What aren't you as psyched about?
So I love her overall idea, obviously, the sparking joy. I think it's super relatable to people and kind of just to give them this really concrete, like, hold this in your hand. What does it make you feel? What does it bring into your life? And that really helps. And I use that with my clients and I really see them, like, sometimes they're like, oh, no, I need this. I love it. And then sometimes you're like, and I'm like, is it sparking joy? You know, like always comes back to, is it sparking joy? Is it bringing something into your life? So that overall idea I love, and then...
But Tova, what about like a toenail clipper? It's never going to spark joy, right? But you probably need it.
Right. So she touches on that in her book, I believe. There are obviously those things that we all need and mm-hmm. we don't love, like our toolbox mm-hmm. or, like you said, toenail clipper, whatever. So, yeah. I mean, you have to bring in some practicality. Mm-hmm. You're a human living in a world.
Yeah.
But for more, like, quote, material items, I think her method really works. And mm-hmm. it is giving that personality and, you know, personifying objects. And then do you love this, essentially? Is it doing something for you?
She's so strict, though. She's so strict. And she essentially says, you know, you have to do every one of the steps that I say or it won't work. But if you do every one of the steps that I say exactly as I say them, there's a 100% success rate.
Yeah, so honestly, this is my theory on Kondo, and people probably disagree with me, but I think it is a placebo, honestly.
Interesting.
Because she talks so much about that in the mm-hmm. beginning of her book that I think people are so afraid to fail because they don't want to be the only ones, that there's just no room for failure.
Hmm. Well, I am going to come clean and admit that I was a failure.
And but you didn't do everything like she told you to.
I love Marie Kondo. I am evangelical about Marie Kondo. I loved the book. It got me so revved up to throw everything away, and I threw a lot away. What I didn't do that she told me to do was to do it all in one big block of time because I did not have the 4 days it would have taken me.
But did you go through everything, the entire process? From, like, did you
know? Because yes. That was the thing. Because, well, but okay, here's the thing about my KonMari experience. I started with my clothes as she instructs, which was useful for me because it's also the thing that gets the most messy in my home. That's the biggest problem point in my home. And although I didn't make it through to the end of the categories, I might have actually, now that I think about it, I did almost everything.
You did the kitchen, you did
the bathroom. I did the bathroom. Yeah.
Junk drawers.
Yeah, I didn't do junk drawers. That was the one thing. But the junk drawers aren't the thing that's spilling out into my life. It's my closet, which is still a problem for me. And that is the thing that is... And so, yes, it's in part because I didn't follow it exactly. And I still, you know, I still... think that she's amazing and I think that she's right, but it didn't stick for me. I was a failure. And
it totally stuck for me. But this, I think this conversation right here just speaks to like the core differences in our personalities and the fact that I'm such like a by the rules, like
loves,
I have
authority,
to,
loves rules.
Have to do everything like they say to do it and then feel very like hemmed in by it in a productive way.
Yeah.
And you're like super passionate and then you buy into 80% of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But Claire, also give yourself credit. Like she did take you to a place.
She did. Oh my gosh. This is why I'm saying I 100% am into her. I vouch for her. I will tell everybody to read her because I still think it was life-changing. It completely changed the way that I think about the objects in my home. I get rid of
things
a lot
more. And the way you consume
things. And that to me is the most valuable lesson in her book also. It's like now when you go out and you buy something, you don't buy excess because you're very in touch with what's important and what matters.
And Tova, you live a very sort of pared down life. There's nothing for you to get rid of because you only have ever owned things that you really feel strongly about.
Yeah, certainly in more recent life, since I've become an organizer, certainly more so and more so every day.
How do you evaluate things when you are shopping or consuming?
So my number one rule is when in doubt, leave it out. If you put something on and you're debating it, walk away. I promise you will debate it every single time you try it on.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
I have a question for you before. And how do you feel about seasonal storage? Because Marie Kondo is pretty against it. And I recently put all my winter stuff away in storage and it really changed the game for me. And I think that could have been the thing that was missing from my Marie Kondo experience.
Yeah, I'm not opposed to it. Honestly, I think we live in New York City, especially spaces are small. We have four seasons. They're all very, very different. Yeah, I'm not
okay
opposed
with
to it.
Okay.
Yeah, as long as you don't put it in deep storage and then forget about it.
Yeah.
Don't make like a, oh, these are sweaters I barely wear, but I'm going to put away. And these are sweaters that I wear and put away. Like, get rid of the ones that you barely wear.
I did it this weekend and I felt really guilty about it. Like, Marie Kondo
you
knew what I was doing.
Oh, no.
And that I was doing something wrong.
She's not all seeing either.
But I will tell you what, it really changed up my closet space.
And that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are your organizational pro tips? How do you think someone should approach this if they're trying to attack their closet this weekend?
So I think the most important thing, obviously, is to go through and purge and just to really be realistic. Like, don't ignore that little voice inside your head that's telling you that you're holding on to something because you're scared to get rid of it. You have to really be in the mindset before you dive in. Like, I'm trying to pare down. I'm trying to get rid of things. I know what I wear. I know what I like. Like, you don't wear skirts because you don't think they look good on you. Get rid of your skirts.
Well, and I also think you can frame it mentally, like this idea of I'm honing in on my personal style and my personal aesthetic, and you're just weeding out the stuff that doesn't fit into that, which can feel really good and productive.
Yeah, certainly. Like, I think, you know, you come to an age where you know what you like and you know what you want to put on in the morning.
Yeah.
So just listen to that.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are the habits of a tidy person? What are the important things that you have to do daily or weekly?
So I am the biggest fan of bed making. I think it is like the number one thing to start your day off right and organized and tidy.
It's so true, especially when you live in New York and your bed is probably the biggest thing in your home.
Yeah. And it's crazy how it could like literally change your life.
I agree.
I really believe in it like to the nth degree. And then I think at the end of the day, it's really important for your clothing to either hang, launder, or fold. And to not let anything hit the floor. If you're not going to take care of it right away, at least put it on a chair or on a desk.
Well, one thing you did for me when you came over, which was huge, is you said anywhere you can, you have to put up the hooks. And if you're not going to hang the thing up at the end of the day, at least put it on the hook. And so it's not
on
the floor. And that's been a total game changer for me.
Yeah. That's, I think for me, I like to have like that kind of like a chair that's like kind of a staging area, basically, where it's like when I come home at night, I will put my clothes there and I keep pajamas there and we'll make the switch. And then in the morning, I'll put things away. Because at night, it just
you're
feels
just too tired.
It's like
too
much. It could be a weekend activity if need be.
Yeah. So I also just like the idea of kind of airing out your clothes before you're putting them away if you aren't laundering
That's very Eastern spiritual of you.
Well,
have a chance to
it's mostly
Marie
just
Kondo
like a sweaty, gross like thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish it were.
There's one of my favorite things ever is this thing made by a designer called Thing Industries, who we featured on our website. She makes something called the sacrificial chair, which is essentially an homage to the fact that most chairs in people's apartment, in your bedroom, end up just being places to put your clothes when you you don't want to hang them up. So it's just that
it looks like a hanger, basically.
Yeah, it's like a wire chair. Yeah. And it's really just meant to, for you to throw.
It has no seat or no back, just the shape of a chair for you to throw things
over.
It
doesn't work.
I got to check this out.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing. So smart and so indicative of the sense of humor of this line of furniture and home objects.
Are there any home storage supplies, hangers, containers, anything like that that you think make a really big difference?
Matching hangers.
Yeah.
And I personally held out for the longest time.
Yeah.
And then, because I don't like wasting things, mm-hmm. but I got them, and they make, like, they get rid of all the visual clutter.
Yeah.
Your closet actually looks more beautiful without doing anything.
Are you, I feel like anybody who has an opinion about hangers is obsessed with those
Huggable
velvet,
hangers.
Really.
Huggable hangers. That's the go-to for sure.
Yeah. How do you feel about dry cleaning? Can you hang your dry cleaning up in the closet still in the dry cleaning material, or do you have to take it off immediately?
You should take it off.
Okay.
Unless it's something you knew that was the answer.
But sometimes I feel like stuff that's super silky, when you keep it in the dry cleaning plastic, it just keeps it sort of fresh and crisp. And once you take it off, it gets...
Well, here, related to my airing out, you're supposed to take the plastic off and air your dry cleaning out because of the chemicals that sit in there and sit in that bag.
Oh.
Here we are, the rule keeper.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, dry cleaning chemicals gross me out.
Yeah.
Because I don't really understand what they are, what they're doing, except that they're not great for you.
Right.
So you're supposed to air them out.
Okay. Yeah. Good to know.
For whatever that's worth.
It's a reason enough right there.
You're also big into labels and label makers.
Yes. I bought one this weekend, finally.
What? Good.
So excited.
And why? What is the philosophy?
I just think the label kind of serves as this, you know, this guilty conscience or this little policeman patrolling your closet. So, you know, you put something away and you know it's not in the right place, but then you see the label and you're just like, ugh, and you just need to move it because you got to listen to the rules.
I also just think it's beyond that, it's a good reminder, because if you have a million drawers, how do you remember? I realize that's probably really specific to my personality, but I just have one of those big things with all the drawers, and it's like, who knows the difference between where the bikinis go and where the socks go.
Yeah, and if you have someone helping you out, a husband,
a cleaning person, that's true for sure. If you can convince your husband to put your clothes away, at least give him a helping hand with the labels.
I also think having drawer dividers has been really useful to me, just to have a place where you know, a little box or a bin or something where you know your underwear is supposed to be, which just helps make things less
that craziness.
Yeah.
I think the biggest...
That fluid space of a drawer.
One of the biggest impacts that Marie Kondo left on my life was the state of my sock and underwear drawer. I remember, Tova, before you turned full-time to professional organization, you did cleaning. And you would come over every once in a while and clean our apartment. And when you and I sat down during our actual professional organization thing, you revealed to me, as if this was like a secret that you'd been keeping for a while, that you had been dying to know how it was I dealt with my sock and underwear drawer, because it was so stressful for you to look at it.
Couldn't wrap my head around it.
You were like, had so many questions about it. It was something that had just not, it hadn't computed for you, which was fair. And Marie Kondo really did help me pare it down in a big way, get rid of people, see how I think of them as people?
The people in the drawers.
Get rid of the socks that did not have companions or were not sparking me joy. That was huge for me. And it's made a big difference because, you know, I go through that drawer every morning.
Separate them. Separate the socks from the underwear, from the thongs, from the bras.
Yeah. All right. On that note, we should go. Thank you so much for listening to A Few Things with Claire and Erica. We are here every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern time. You got to go check out Tidy Tova's website, and you should probably meet her and
use
get some of her services.
For your office, for your home, for your garage.
For your everything.
Life-changing and money well spent. I can vouch for that. Put her on your wedding registry.
All right. That's
the show. And up next, you are going to hear a little clip from All In Industry, hosted by Sherry Bayer, live every Wednesday at 4 p.m. on Heritage Radio. Don't forget, you can find us on iTunes and Stitcher, and leave us comments, because you know we love comments.
Do it.
Bye.
All restaurant reviewers typically focus on what's new, and which of course raises the question for every critic, how new is too new? You know, can you reasonably write about a new restaurant after 3 weeks, a month, six months.
Steve Quozo, restaurant critic for the New York Post, has strong opinions on the process of reviewing a new restaurant. Hear a clip of him on episode 45 of All in the Industry.
Restaurant reviews are completely unlike any other form of criticism because the product is never the same. You know, movies always the same, et cetera. Broadway shows, plays are mostly the same, allowing for minor variations in performances evening to evening. But every restaurant meal is a different product and a different experience. And I always tell my friends that when you go to a restaurant, you're not really buying a meal. You're buying a memory. And the trick is to figure out when is the time that it's safe to sort of try to express that memory for readers in a way that may be useful to them. But restaurants, the whole, as we know, everything changes so rapidly. The movement of chefs and owners and front of the house people are so mercurial that a place can be completely different night to night, more so than was true in the past.
This was an excerpt of All in the Industry, episode 45. For more behind-the-scenes conversations on the restaurant and hospitality industry, listen to archived episodes of All in the Industry on heritageradionetwork.org and iTunes. This piece was brought to you by the International Culinary Center, culinarycenter.com.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.